Hi, I'm Jonathan Winter, the founder of the Career Innovation Group, and I'm here at Demos in London with Tony DiRamaldo.
Yes, hi, I'm Tony DiRamaldo, based in the US, and I work as a research director with Career Innovation.
Great, well, thanks for coming in. You're here to talk about the manifesto for the new agile workplace. Firstly, why don't you tell us about what that is and why it's important?
So when we started the research for the manifesto, we set out to look for some of the differences between women and men, between workers who are younger, workers who are older. And what we found, interestingly, was that the greatest distinctions were not by age, they were not by gender, they were not by the expected categories that we had started out with. But in fact, we identified five distinct types of knowledge worker, many of them cutting right across all the boundaries of age and gender. And one of those that was particularly interesting was a group of people that we've called agile performers. They're some of the most highly engaged, they're some of the most ambitious workers, and they're also some of the most dissatisfied with conventional ways of working. In fact, we found 43% of them intend to leave their current organization within the next 12 months. So this is a quarter of our sample who are agile, and who really represent a great loss to organizations if they do leave. And the tension there that we see in many organizations is between those people and the traditionalists who would rather have things the way they are. And that we see as a great opportunity both for organizations and for individuals who want a new way to work.
Coming to this project, I had done a lot of work over the years on the topic of outsourcing, and had heard a lot of rationale and discussions with executives about how can we create a more agile set of resources and why they look to work through third parties. Yet there always seemed to be lots of misfiring of these strategies, not really giving them the agility that they thought in terms of creating these Lego-like organizations where they can kind of pull pieces from one part, plug them in, and take them out again as needed. So it got me thinking. There's a real human dimension here. People are not Lego parts, and there must be something more to agility than just some sort of theoretical strategy or plan. That we've got to get at more of a human dimension and understand what motivates people, how they can act more agilely, and what kinds of arrangements might actually facilitate that, so that companies and people, get their objectives met.
So to answer your question, Peter, we came from those two angles, in fact, and we felt that there was a real gap in the conversation, that there was so much talk about agility, but not so much about the impact on people. And there was so much talk about flexible working, but actually that tended to be in isolation. And we felt there was a need to bring the two together.
In our survey of a couple thousand knowledge workers, and it was concentrated on people who were knowledge workers, we found some things that we expected. 56% said they were not satisfied with their level of work-life flexibility. That didn't surprise us at all. But quite frankly, we were shocked when we saw data such as 55% saying that they weren't satisfied with their opportunities for achievement at work. These are, high-performing professionals, and we see majority saying, I'm really not accomplishing what I think I have the ability to accomplish in my job. I think 54% said they weren't happy that their skill sets were being applied fully in their work. It really got us thinking about, are organizations really utilizing the resource, the human resource, the knowledge resource, the skill resource that they have in their workers?
A lot of what Tony just described harks back to what you could describe as a confrontational approach to work, where I think the assumption we've built work on in organizations has tended to be the assumption that people are lazy, and therefore we have to structure things in order to incentivize them to work harder. And I think that's a false assumption. We found so many people saying, I want to achieve, and I'm not feeling able to achieve as I'd like to. And I think if we build work around the assumption that people want to perform, they want to achieve, then we'll get a very different result.
Is this just another way of talking about precarity and precarious jobs and job insecurity?
Well, there's a lot of talk about how the labor market's changing. There has for a number of years been a lot of talk about the growth in freelancers and self-employment. And indeed, when we conducted our global study of knowledge workers, we found, to our amazement, that 61% said they would that their most preferred career option would be to be self-employed. So there's an enormous demand for that kind of way of working. However, when you look at the actual figures, you find that people's ways of working have not changed as quickly as that over the past few years. And we therefore wouldn't necessarily predict that we're going to be in a world of freelancers for the future. What we would predict is that we're going to be in a very diverse world where organizations and employees, or I should say workers, need to be equipped to work in a variety of different ways, some through self-employment, some through new forms of employment, which may be a hybrid halfway between the two, some through part-time working. And it's going to be that hybrid model that is both difficult to manage initially and extremely productive in the end.
A lot of the talk in terms of, you know, free agent nations and sort of more arm's length and very dynamic relationships, we think maybe the future is more around sort of, yes, there will be very agile relationships, but there will be sort of glue, bonding, affiliations, and that those organizations that can forge sort of career partnerships may not mean full-time employment necessarily with the company for your career, but rather a continuous and changing affiliation, a place where you continue contacts, you may do work, you may be employed for a while, you may go into some sort of joint venture, you may leave for a while and come back. That those, it's those sorts of evolving new forms of relationship is where we believe it's going to be going.
And we found tremendous willingness to work in agile ways. I mean, 51% said they'd be willing to retrain. 41% said they'd be willing to work for another organization on a temporary basis. That willingness is there. It's just not currently being tapped into.
I would just add that I think we've seen in this research some examples of too many examples of employers that rely too much on the labor market. They kind of have this hire and fire mentality as their needs for skills shift. If we no longer need some skill, we fire the person, we bring in someone else. We had several companies talk to us about, you know, last year we let go 10,000 people, but we hired 12,000 people. And we know that of those 10,000 people we let go, some of them could have done the jobs of these new 12,000 jobs that we had, but we had no way of connecting those dots.
I think that's a good point, Tony, to take us to the solutions to this, because, you know, having identified that there was huge dissatisfaction, having identified this huge potential, we then looked specifically at what the answers might be, what the actions were that both individuals and employers could take. And some of them are structural. Some of them, for example, could involve technology. There are concepts such as fractional working, which are coming to the fore now, the idea that you can actually divide work into smaller parcels and then find technology-based ways of linking employees or workers and employers. There are initiatives within organizations to get a better grasp on what skills people have and then to match them to roles. But it's not all about restructuring or providing technology to facilitate that, because the other side of the equation is precisely the one that focuses on engagement. And I think organizations that forget that and use only the technology or only focus on the restructuring of work will fail to actually build the trust and engagement that's needed to make work more agile for both parties. And in our work, we've found that there's been a lot of good results from focusing on the quality of conversations that people have as an individual with their manager or the person that hires them.
How do you think that the education system leading up to when people begin their careers supports this kind of agile working, or what might have to change to help people develop that kind of approach?
I mean, clearly, with just kind of the dynamic nature of businesses and even certain disciplines, I mean, you know, schools, there's got to be something where people can go back to school, you know, every decade, a way that, you know, companies, you can still be employed, you can take some time on a regular basis to constantly refresh and maybe even totally change your career. I mean, right now that happens, but there's not as much systematic support for that happening. I mean, individuals are kind of have to make sacrifice and go off and take a career break. And I would think there's got to be a more a better infrastructure to allow that, because what we hear a lot from a lot of the big companies we're dealing with in industries where they're really looking for highly technical skills is that the universities and education systems in the West are not producing the people they need. And so they feel kind of frustrated.
And that's partly about an inadequate link between the two. It's also partly about an over-specialization, I think, a belief in some parts of the education system that specialization will win, whereas in fact employers will say that first of all they'll hire for attitude and then they'll train for skills. And with knowledge changing so fast these days, then I think that does imply that any academic system that's built on that kind of specialization isn't going to serve us well, certainly from the point of view of employers. Well, if people want to find out more about the Manifesto for the New Agile Workplace, they can download a PDF summary of the manifesto from www.cimanifesto.com. It's free, and please send it to all your friends and to your employers and colleagues, because we want to get the word out about this.